Honestly, I read this and I think it maybe means kind of what Justice Potter Stewart said about pornography in the famous Jocko Billings case. He said, I know it when I see it. This sounds to me like the court saying, I'm going to know if I'm going to report that there's fraud in a pale bail person case. I'm going to know it when I see it. Not a very hard standard. It leaves a lot to the court and to the participants to argue about whether we're violating a confidence, where what was happened had a tendency to deceive, had a tendency to violate confidence, injure public interest. Pretty wishy-washy words. And, you know, a lot of members of the bar agreed with that. They said this is bad for business. It makes it really hard for us to advise people. So in 1989, the Texas laws, this is the laws before the TBOC, but this has been carried forward into the TBOC. The Texas laws were amended to try to address and give some certainty and clarity to this area. And if you want to, the law was first amended, and we're going to talk about the statute, the specific statutes in a minute. And as we get into the speech, you'll find out and why are we talking about corporations? Well, because two things, the courts have really don't distinguish between corporations and LLCs when they're applying this common law theory. And we have a fairly recent statute in Texas that says that the same laws apply to both. And I'll get into some details in a minute. This law was first adopted, these kind of veil piercing limitations, if you will. They were first adopted in 1989. There were several amendments through the years. For about 10 years, they were amended until 1997. That case that's cited there, and it's cited in the paper, the TechLogix case. I think you may have heard Beth or some of the speakers have referred to this case. It's kind of an important case in this area. And it has a very detailed description of when the law, you don't have to go back and hit the books and try to figure this out if you have to know what the exact law was at what time. This case will tell you that. Likely the statute of limitations is run on anything that would go back to 1997. But if in case you have to know exactly how the law evolved, look at this case will tell you that in a kind of good, clear way. So what does this law say? Well, here's one. I won't totally read it to you, but I'll read to you the important part. It says that the holders of a beneficial interest in shares may not be held liable to the corporation or to the corporation or its obligees, the claimant in our picture, the first little box, for any contractual liability of the corporation or any matter arising from the obligation of the corporation or relating to and that relates to an holder, beneficial owner, subscriber, or affiliate. And that says that we're gonna sue these people because of alter ego of the corporation, or on the basis of actual or constructive fraud, a sham to perpetrate a fraud, or a similar theory. And not only that, but you should not be held liable based on a claim on any obligation of the corporation, on the basis of the failure of the corporation to observe any corporate formality, including a failure to comply with the TBOC or the bylaws, or observe any requirement imposed by those documents. So you've got this law now in 1989 initially that said, in order to pierce a corporate veil, you have to satisfy certain requirements. And not only that, but the drafters also, because of that kind of unclear language, they thought they should address about fraud. They also went so far as to tell us when there is fraud. And the only time that you can pierce the corporate veil under this statute is when there is when you're found to find actual fraud for the direct personal benefit of the holder, beneficiary, owner, or person that's you're trying to reach in the bail piercing case, and so I'll analyze these a little bit in a little bit more detail. I know I've kind of gone through that quickly here, And there are actually three or four of these statutes, three or four sections that apply to this. The next one is interesting because the statute also says the liability or hold of a beneficial owner is the remedy is limited. That is limited by those prior provisions is the exclusive law remedy and preempts any other liability imposed for that obligation under common law or otherwise. So trying to paint with a very broad brush here, trying to make it, the legislature and the drafters here were trying to make it very clear that they were rewriting the law, that they were changing the law, that common law would no longer apply, and that we would look to this statute. I told you I was kind of linear, and so I'm going to try to help you, help me, and hopefully help you take this statute apart with a kind of a decision tree here. So bear with me. Let's just kind of analyze a statute in another way. Look at how this case, how this might be applied.